continuing our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Specifically, we've been breaking down the fruit of the Spirit. And last week we started to look at the fruit of the Spirit as faith. And of course we brought out that you have to have God give you faith to believe. He has to make the word open. He has to bring that to your understanding and give you the ability to believe it. Because, listen, if lost men were able, just by the power of their decision-making process, okay, if that's all it took, the very fact that you could go out and tell people, I've got a message that will secure eternity for you, where you will be forgiven of all your sins and you will spend eternity with God, and all you have to do is repent and believe that Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Well, you would think that everybody would embrace that. I mean, I'll never forget the day that I was saved and I went down to talk to Kevin Hamilton. And it was in the afternoon. I had to wake him up. He was hungover. And I didn't know how to witness, but I told him, I said, man, I've got something today I'm going to tell you about. It's better than the lottery, man. I have hit the jackpot. I didn't know any other way to tell him. I'm going to heaven. My sins have been forgiven. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. He called me Tommy. You'll be back with us in 6 months. This is just a phase. Oh, man, I can't tell you how that just went right through me. I remember going out of his house that day, just praying, because I had no understanding of the doctrines of grace. I couldn't have told you what the four gospels were. I didn't know what the first book of the Bible was. But I knew I'd been saved. But I didn't know any doctrine. But the first thing I wanted to do was tell one of my best friends, one of my very best friends, how to be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, several years later, the Lord did save him. But I distinctly remember, how can someone pass this up? How in the world? This is the greatest thing that anybody could ever know, that you can be eternally saved and forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? I learned from the Bible and just experience. All men have not faith. Their depravity and Satan blind their minds. People are trapped in sin. And it takes the power of God to bring them to life and then give them the grace and the saving faith to believe the gospel. Because even though it's the greatest message in the world, isn't it amazing that the work of Christ, all of what He did, secures our salvation, and we don't do anything for it? Not one shred of our works or our ability or anything that we'll ever do. None of that saves us. It's the power of the work of Jesus Christ. I am saved by someone outside of me. And God gave me the grace, 1980, to believe the message of the gospel. Greatest thing. But God gave me faith. God gave me the ability to believe this message. When I was first saved, really, the only verses I had memorized or Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I didn't know anything other than those verses. People would ask me a question about what I believed. I'd say, I ain't too sure about that. But then I say, but I do know, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's not of your works. It's not of your religion. It's all of God's grace. God has to give you that kind of faith. And when He does, Gavin, it changes your life forever. You will never be the same when God gives you faith to believe. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your life changes forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, last week, I wanted to bring out the point that it's not just mere saving faith, this fruit of the Spirit. He must give you the faith to believe. But there's also a serving faith, a sanctifying faith that makes you faithful. And I think that's an important point to bring out in the fruit of the Spirit, because if you have the fruit and the gift of faith operating in your life, you are going to be faithful. Now last week, because God is faithful, it stands to reason that every one of His children, that He has gone to the trouble of regenerating, justifying, sanctifying, and one day glorifying, He wants you to be like Him. Now last week we dealt with the fact that this faithfulness should produce an absolute honesty, a truthfulness in the way you live your life. Tonight we're going to look at this idea that faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit is faith, and it produces and involves dependability. Now think about this. When we reflect on the faithfulness of God in our relationship to His principles, promises, and attributes, we come to the settled conclusion that He can be depended upon in every circumstance of our lives. No matter what it is, isn't God dependable? Can't you have absolute confidence in Him, whether we're sick or healthy, poor or wealthy, happy or sad, afflicted or chastened? God remains steadfast and unwavering in His care for our souls. The Holy Spirit's inward work of sanctification, which includes forming the fruit of faithfulness, involves conforming us to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh. Psalm 125:1 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Those who have trusted in the Lord in truth should in time begin to resemble Him in this area of faithfulness involving dependability. I know that being as dependable as God is impossible for even the most spiritual of saints. But it's a worthy goal that each of us ought to shoot for as we endeavor to serve the Lord. To be dependable means that you personally are worthy of trust and you're reliable. Faithfulness involving dependability definitely should be manifested in our service to God. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight, as others view your spiritual life, as they look at your example, your testimony, can they conclude that you are faithful and dependable? when it comes to the pursuit of spiritual excellence? Is this top on your list to be faithful and dependable in your service to God? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Listen, dependable Christians are absolutely and much in need in the day and age in which we live. There's unfaithfulness all around. I ask you tonight, dear saint of God, can other people depend on you to do right no matter where you are? Can others depend upon you to be at church unless you're providentially hindered? Do others see in your life a dogged determination to serve the Lord no matter what it costs? If the answer is yes, then you're a faithful and dependable pillar in the house of God. Revelation 3:12 says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." Now that verse deals specifically with future rewards. But every child of God should desire to be a pillar in the house of God right now. A pillar is sturdy, dependable, reliable. Pillars are not blown about by every new doctrine that comes along. Rather, they're firmly grounded in the truth and can be depended upon to earnestly contend for the faith. You know, pillars do not easily crumble or topple. When the first strong wind of trouble or opposition begins to blow, on the contrary, pillars are usually the last thing standing, faithfully doing their part to the end. Pillars exist to provide stability to a structure by faithfully supporting the rest of the building. You know, I want to be a spiritual pillar. I pray that God will raise up more spiritual pillars in the house of God. Men and women and boys and girls who can be depended upon to remain faithful to the truth in their support of the Lord and His church and serving Him. Faithfulness. One thing I've tried to teach my kids is to just be faithful. You don't have to make a big show. Just be consistent. Serve the Lord each and every day. Do something every day. And little by little, and little by little, you begin to build a faithful testimony. Faithfulness involves dependability, and it ought to manifest itself in our homes. Men, you should be the example to your family. Every husband and father should provide an example of dependability to the rest of his family. The man of the house should be dependable enough to work in order to provide for the needs of his family. In fact, if you don't, the Bible says that you're worse than an infidel. Now, there are some dads, especially in the day and age in which we live, that spend their paychecks on frivolous pursuits, grown-up toys, gambling, drunkenness, general wickedness, neglecting the needs of their family. It's a scourge. We need men who will be faithful to God, to his house, and to his family. I'm convinced that if more husbands and fathers were devoted to the spiritual and physical welfare of their homes, everybody would be more dependable. We need to pray because we live in a culture of deadbeat dads. This crosses every color. No matter if you're white, black, Asian, there are deadbeat dads out there everywhere. And it ought not to be. And if you're a man of God, you above all, if you profess to be saved, you above all should be an example of dependability. And then every saved wife and mother should cultivate a testimony of faithfulness. See, the fruit of the Spirit, it really does show itself in the way in which you live, the practicality. Every wife and mother should have a testimony of faithfulness and dependability regarding her responsibilities in the home. A faithful, hard-working wife and mother is one of the most important and valuable assets of a successful home. Again, America is failing. Where are the virtuous Christian women who put God first, who put their family above their career, above... Listen, your career ought to be centered around your family. Being a blessing, being an encouragement, being a help, teaching your children. That's far more important than a worldly career. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12 says of the virtuous and dependable woman, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Thank God for faithful women. They are an encouragement to every husband and to their children. Now, in the home, kids, Ella, Adeline, Gavin, Emma, especially Ezra. That little fella. Oh, boy. He's going to be getting the rod for too long. That poor boy. He don't know what he's in for. Now, he's my youngest grandson right now. What we got, he's still going to hold the title, Gavin, of the youngest grandson. You know why? Because Andre is having another girl. I wish everybody would have been there when they did that, the gender reveal thing. Who ever heard of that, you know? The people have a party and they blow off something pink or something blue. But anyway, we were all gathered around in Dean and Katie's living room, all the grandkids waiting for this big reveal. And they popped off this thing and it was pink. And all the girls, you should have seen all the girls, they jumped up and they said, "We won! We won!" Because right now in our family, it's 3-3. There's 3 girls and 3 boys in the grandkids. And old Gavin said, he got real serious. He said, "You may have won this battle, but you haven't won the war." Where does a kid get stuff like that, you know? But even children can be taught to be dependable and trustworthy by the example of their parents, and by discipline, and by perseverance. I'm going to tell you one of the... Don't let your children be lazy. Don't let them be indolent. Because you know what happens? Lazy, indolent, stubborn children grow up to be undependable teens and grown-ups because the fruit of faithfulness was not demonstrated or insisted upon in the home. Teach your children the importance of dependability. Even though, again, it takes the grace of God to save them. But train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Think how strong our homes would be if every one of us would strive to exemplify the fruit of faithfulness and dependability. Instead, many homes are swiftly deteriorating or falling apart because of unfaithfulness. Men, husbands, women, wives, determine to be faithful to one another and to your home, to your children. And then, Christian employees, if you're saved, you ought to be the best worker where you are. Christian employees should manifest the fruit of faithfulness and dependability as they labor on their job. Their employers should be able to depend upon you, being there when you're supposed to, alert, and ready to work. And ready to work hard. Not just show up, but do your job. Christian employees should strive to be the most dependable, diligent, and productive workers where they are employed. Other people should be able to see your faithful example of dependability. Dependability on the job requires you to labor for the wage that you agreed upon without complaining, without belly aching. To be dependable and faithful on the job means you'll strive to fulfill your responsibilities to the best of your ability every day that you labor. I remember when I got my first job. Now, I know Dick Ballmer's going to top this. Okay, I know he's going to do it when he walks out tonight. But with that said, I remember when I got my first job, I'd always like cut grass, umpired baseball games, did odd jobs. I was a hustler when I was a kid. But I got my first job at Bob Evans. And you know what the minimum wage was back in 1975 or 76? It was a whopping $1.85. I thought, man, I have hit the jackpot. All I got to do is work 40 hours and I'm going to bring home $70 a week. Wow! What am I going to do with all that money? And now they're talking about a minimum wage of $15 an hour. People that propose stuff like that have never owned a business. They've never signed somebody else's paycheck. My dad would have gone out of business if he had to pay some of the lunkheads we had 15 bucks an hour. I mean, you start people out so that they can get experience and learn how to work. They shouldn't be paid. I mean, I never have made $15 an hour. My whole life. In an hourly wage. But When you agree to work for a certain amount, don't bellyache, don't complain, don't murmur, don't cause trouble in the workplace. That's not being dependable. Tell you another thing. You know what young kids are saying now when they don't want to go to work? I think I'll just call off. I never even knew what that meant. I think it was Aaron, my youngest son, that tried to do it one time. He said, I think I'm just going to call off. I said, what's that? He said, well, I'm not going to go in today. I said, well, nothing's wrong with you. He said, yeah, but I just don't feel like working. I said, not while you're here, brother. You're going to work. My dad would have whooped me if I would have ever called off just because I didn't want to go to work. And you'd have to be deathly ill not to go to work. But you don't call in sick unless you're really sick. It means that you'll not try to find ways to get out of work, but rather seek ways in which to make your company more profitable. You want to make more money? Make money for your employer. It's not hard. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I think one of the greatest curses of professing Christianity are those who say that they're Christians, but they're as lazy as 4 o'clock while they're on the job. You know what that means, lazy as 4 o'clock? That's when people are just the last hour of the day, they're about ready to get off, and they just kind of quit. I heard that phrase, and I had to include it in my book. I like what Jerry Bridges said. Few things are more vexing than relying on someone who's not dependable. Solomon observed, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Proverbs 10:26. Though the term sluggard refers to a habitually lazy person, it is his unfaithfulness that makes him exasperating. We may be indifferent about a lazy person's habits if we do not have to rely on him. But if we're dependent on his actions in any way, we see his slothful habits as unfaithfulness. Overall, this fruit of faithfulness involving dependability will only abound in those who are devoted, diligent, determined, committed to fulfilling their responsibilities. You know, it's sad but true, but those words I just said and those traits are fast becoming archaic in our modern day society. Many people, even professing Christians, are content to be committed only when it's convenient for them. Those who lack faithfulness usually are also undependable, and those who are unfaithful are that way because they're disobedient to God. May God place a burden upon your pastor and everyone that hears this message to desire to have the Spirit of God make us abound in the fruit of faithfulness involving dependability. May God burn the truth of 1 Corinthians 4:2 in each one of our hearts. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Dependability and faithfulness, may it be found in each of us as we serve the Lord, His church, our homes, and our employers. Now I'm asking you tonight, can your testimony be depended upon? If not, why not?